Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
I really did want to share this morning because I think over this last number of years, we have walked a journey just of learning about the goodness of God. And I really wanted to encourage you. I really wanted to I know that everyone's in different stages in life, and some people are maybe going through things at the minute where they're sort of thinking, God, where are you, or what's happening? And I just wanted to, I was thinking, God, I really, really want other people to come away thinking, God, you are for me. God, you're not going to let me down. And just, we really want this church to be a place where lots of people come and share their stories. And that's something Andrew and I have been talking about recently over the last number of weeks, that we want this to be a place where people give the testimonies of the goodness of God, of healing that's taken place, of lives that have been changed, of financial breakthroughs, of just things where God has made the difference, where if nobody else could help, and people cried out to God, and he heard their cries, and he's done what we all, you know, really desire him to do. So I wanted to start by saying, how many of you have got a dream in your heart? Hey, lots of hands up. Woohoo! Isn't that exciting? Because you know what? I believe that dreams are God-given. I don't believe that, you know, God just planted on the earth and just went, right, just try and make it, you know, just survive and try and get through life. He's created us with amazing potential. And I think the biggest thing in life is for us to discover what that potential is, isn't it? It's to truly find out who God has created us to be and what he wants to do through us. And that's what I think is the enemy's biggest thing, is to try and blind us from what God has put inside of us and try and make us think that we've just got to try and get through, we've just got to try and survive. But we have been called to greatness. Isn't that exciting? We've been called to accomplish amazing things. And God puts dreams in each one of our hearts. And as we go through life, we can get knocks and bangs, and we can start to question and doubt if those dreams are ever going to take place. But you know what? God is never too late. Isn't that fantastic? And it's never too late for those dreams to come to life. And one of my dreams when we first got married was about having family, was about having children. And I don't think Andrew and I wanted to just have like 2.4 kids or 1.8 kids or whatever the average was. We had a dream for a big family and we were excited about that. And then obviously when we started thinking about having kids, and it didn't happen straight away, and that kind of made us think, oh, right, okay, wait a bit longer. And Andrew always says, like, it's not that it's a hardship trying to have children, you know, it's it's not one of those real, like, oh no, what a nightmare. But it can become something that can, you know, just as time and months and years go by, can be something which you can start to really find difficult. And for me, that was a real difficult journey before Ben came along. And I remember during that time just feeling like, you know, I was teaching and I was constantly around everyone else's children and all of my friends were having kiddies, and it was just like constant, you know. I remember I taught in Donaghadee Primary, and in the space of the time that I was there, the first 3 years, there were 15 children were born out of the members of staff, because we were quite a big staff and we were all more or less the same age, all young married. So it was every time somebody walked in the staff room, it was like, woohoo, am I expecting, oh, here's my baby, and it was just like, woohoo. And that was so exciting, but it's hard when you're in the middle of that and it's not you, when that's a real deep desire. But I remember one time just, you know, crying out to God and thinking, you know, why is it this way? And I just remember getting really encouraged by the verse, seek first God's kingdom and everything else will be given to you. I remember just thinking, God, I just need to take my eyes off myself. I need to stop focusing on me, why not me, whatever. And I remember just one time, I remember Aaron actually was in CFC and he played that song. And that verse was spoken to me like 3 times in the same day. I remember he sang it. It was one of the golden oldies and he just pulled it out and started singing it that morning. And somebody else had given me that verse and I read it that night and it was like, okay, God, I'm getting the message. And I actually resigned, gave in my notice, and I just felt God saying, do something new, seek it, go after my kingdom. And at that time, there wasn't that many permanent jobs in teaching. And I thought, I've got to do something new. I'm going to throw myself into church. I'm going to do God's stuff. And I handed my notice in and they all thought I was completely crazy. My principal was like, what are you doing? What's your new job? And I said, I don't know. And then almost everyone who was working with me thought I was mad. They were all saying to my face, oh, that's lovely. And then they were going, is she completely daft? She knew what she's doing. And it was actually the day of my leaving day that morning. I hadn't been feeling well and I was tired. And I just found out my sister-in-law was pregnant. And I was like, woohoo! phone and oh God. And we actually went to the doctors and I found out I was pregnant. It was so exciting, and that was like the story of Ben. And you think when that had happened once and God had broken through that you'd be like full of faith and going, God, you're so amazing. And we were so excited, and Ben is such a blessing and so much fun. But you know what came in really, really quickly was fear. Fear came in again. I remember thinking like, oh, gosh, it took us 3 years before Ben came along. I wonder how long it'll take for number two. And I remember instantly starting to get into that thing of like, oh, you know, it could be, maybe better start quick, Andrew, it could be another 3 years, you know. Andrew's like, woo! But it's amazing how the enemy can put lies and doubts in your heart again, to doubt the goodness of God, to doubt that it's going to be easy again the second time. And for us, this whole process of We Hope being born, there's been so much about the birth of this church and the birth of hope. Because really, we came to a place in our Christian faith where we had to say that even if our experience doesn't line up with it, God is good all the time. And we're going to wait for our experience to catch up to that. And that's a hard thing to do, because you have people around you going, "What?" So you're trying to say that God's always good. So you're trying to say, even if, like, you know, when people get sick and they're not getting better, God's always good. And we had to take persecution for that. We had to be challenged and keep saying God is good. And we even had people speak into our situation and say, well, it's not working for you. But we were able to just, you know what, God, we are going to trust you and we're going to believe you. And we are going to believe that we will see this come to pass. And that might take time, and that takes courage for you to do that and to stand. But I just encouraged this week when I was reading, when Jesus went to the cross, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And Jesus, he had to trust his Father. He had to trust what was going to happen in the end, didn't he? He had to trust that he would die on the cross and that he would take the sin of the world, but that he would rise again. He did that as a completely God, but completely man. And he chose to trust and to believe in the goodness of his Father. And he chose to take the persecution and the suffering and all those things, knowing that he would see the goodness of God. But I just want to encourage you this morning. The very first thing that we had to settle in our hearts was the nature and the character of God. Because the whole question that comes up for most people is, well, what is God's will for your life? You can hear all these things, but you have to really know, what is God's will? I had to know, what is God's will for my life? Does God really, really, really want me to have kids? And I was thinking about, you know when you stop somebody and you ask for directions? All right, have you ever done this? Like, this is Andrew and I, we don't know where we're going, right? Let's stop and we ask somebody. And you wind the window down and they tell you where you're going and you listen to it all and go, yeah, 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 yeah. And then you start driving and you go, can you remember where you're going? And neither of you really listened and you're as lost as you were before. Or somebody has given you the directions, this ever happened as the wife, and then you're driving and it doesn't look like where you thought it would be. And your husband's saying, are you sure it was a left? And you're like, and you are sure. And then suddenly you're not very sure. And then you're, ooh, because it's all starting to go wrong. I think we can be a bit like that with the word of God, because if we hear it from other people, yeah, God wants you well. God wants you to prosper. God wants the best for you. You hear all these things. That sounds great, doesn't it? But then when your life isn't lining up with it, the devil just keeps coming in and saying, did he really say that? Did he really say that? And if you don't know the word of God, not just because you heard a few good sermons, but if you don't know it in your heart and truly know it, then you're not going to be convinced when the situation around you is looking the opposite to what you want it to. And for me, I had to really meditate on the character of God. I had to go back and think, God, you are a creator. You created the heavens and the earth. You created the universe. You created people. And you made us to procreate. That's what you put inside of us. So if I think about, is this the will of God for my life to have children? I had to go back to the word and think, yes, it is. It says, like, your first command to man was be fruitful and multiply. It's simple. It's what you wanted. But I realized that I believed a lie in this area. And I think for any of us, if we're going through life and there's not a breakthrough, if we're struggling with something and we're not seeing things come to pass, it's probably because we've heard some teaching that's been untruthful. And we've taken it on board and thought it was true. I just want to tell you, when I was at Sheffield Uni, I remember going along one day to hear some missionaries give a talk. And they were saying about how they'd traveled around the world and this amazing life. And they were fantastic people, not knocking them. But they explained about they'd never had children. And they said, oh, that was God's plan for us. We never had children. But that was because he had this journey for us that we had to go around the world and tell all these people. And so we couldn't have done that with a family. So God decided we weren't to have children. And I remember for a long time thinking, oh, so God just decides that, does he? So for some people, he'll say, I've got something really special for you, but it's going to mean you can't do this. And that is a lie. That's a lie from the enemy. That isn't God's plan. He doesn't say, oh, there's something really brilliant, but that just means you're not going to have this other brilliant thing. That's not the way he is. But we can, because there's people up on a stage and they're saying that and everybody else is going rah, 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 then we think, oh, that must be right. And I just want to encourage you. You know, there's times that we can think, oh, we better say something encouraging. We better say something comforting to somebody in a situation. Like, possibly somebody does die and it's not. And maybe we say things like, well, maybe that's what God wanted. You know, well, maybe that's just easier or better or whatever. And we can try and say something that's comforting. But actually, there's times when we can speak a lie that's against the will of God. And then that holds people in bondage. That holds people where they've this confused view of, well, who is God and why would he do that? And guys, just be careful that you don't say those comforting words or take those words on board, because they can stop you from believing in the true goodness of God. I think the second thing which I realized was when I started to understand what God's will for me was, I realized it wasn't just about knowing facts in my head. It's not just about, you know that God wants you to do this. You know, it says that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I knew what the Bible said about us having kids and his goodness. And I could confess lots of different verses. I could write them all out. I could memorize them. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I realized that the truth isn't an abstract thing. It's not just something that goes on in your head. The truth is Jesus. He's a person. He wants you to know him. So when you know the truth, Jesus says, know me and I will set you free. It's not about knowing something in your head. It's about knowing somebody in your heart, because he's the one who wants to bring freedom. And when we have an understanding of what God's will is for a situation, what can sometimes happen is, I remember I started sometimes to feel condemned, because I would think, right, I know the truth, but I'm not seeing this thing change. And sometimes you can think, well, it must be me. I must be doing something wrong. And we suddenly start to look for a formula. We suddenly start to think, right, well, what did they do to get their breakthrough? And what did they do to make things different? And it all starts to become about us. Again, we start thinking, right, it's about, right, maybe if I do this, maybe if I say these verses every morning, and maybe if I do that later on, and then I'll go to my prayer meetings, and I'll get up earlier, and I'll read my Bible. And it all starts to become about what we do. And we take our eyes off Jesus and start looking at what we've got to do to get this breakthrough. And I realize that the Christian life, it's not about twisting God's arm to get him to do something for us. It's about learning how to receive what he's already done for us. That's the exciting thing. Because in our church, hopefully you'll understand, we've talked about this lots and lots, that, you know, it is finished. We sang that song this morning. When Jesus went to the cross, it was finished. The work was done. It's over. And now he just wants us, our minds, he wants them to be enlarged to everything that he's done for us so that we can receive the things that he freely wants to give us. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Lots of you know that verse because maybe that's how you became a Christian, that all we had to do was confess it. Confess, Jesus, you are Lord. That's all you have to do to become a Christian. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you're saved. That's the only thing you need to do. But everything else that we receive in our Christian life, it's the same way. It's just that we believe what he's done for us and we receive it. It's nothing to do with ourselves. It's not to do with our performance, how good we are, how much we pray, how many songs we can sing, who we've prayed for. It's nothing to do with ourselves. It never was at the start and it's never going to be. It's just about us going, Jesus, I trust you and I believe in you. It's hard, isn't it? Because it's one of those things that's so simple. It sounds so simple, and yet it's so difficult because it's about surrender. And I think that's the hardest thing in life, isn't it? It's like we want a formula. We want the, you know, 10 steps to being prosperous, 20 steps to being able to have your children, or whatever it is. We just want a formula. We want somebody to give us a little book that tells us what to do it. But God's our Father, and he wants a relationship with us. It's not right. He wants to take us by the hands, and he literally wants to lift burdens off our shoulders. Do you ever walk through the likes of Conswater or Castle Court and everyone's walking around like this, shopping, loads of bags with lots of exciting things in them, but they're all kind of, do you know what? It's because people are burdened. It doesn't matter how many things you've got in your hands, how many shopping bags you've got, how many new, whatever stuff you're wearing or what car you're driving. None of that can make you just stand up and enjoy life, can it? It's like, you know, God says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He says, take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's God's heart for each one of us this morning, isn't it? He's saying, come to me, take my yoke. It's easy and it's light. How many of us are going around with just heavy, heavy weights that we were never meant to carry? But you know what? To surrender to somebody, that means you've got to let go of your plans. It's, for us, I know that we did have a plan B. Once we were trying for a second child and it didn't happen at first, and we started to get a bit kind of like, oh, well, it's only been a year, and it's only been 2 years, and it's only been 3 years. And Andrew and I started to look at the whole area of adoption. And I know in my heart I was thinking, well, I do believe God will have another child naturally at some stage, but, you know, we could adopt as well. And I think adoption is fantastic. I think it's a brilliant thing to do. But I know for me, in my heart, my hope started to go down that road. It was like, well, God, if that never did work out, then we could always adopt a child. And even though I kept thinking that, you know, oh, it's a good thing to do and it's a brilliant thing to do, I know that my hope started to shift from just trusting and believing in the goodness of God to thinking, well, I've got my plan B if God doesn't quite make it. If he's got other plans, it's okay. And I remember lots of things happened in the start of this church, and lots of different turmoil came into our lives where we had to deal with lots of different things. So the adoption thing all got put to the side for a time. And it was kind of like there was just too much to deal with. And I remember we'd left it for a year where Andrew and I hadn't really spoken about it. We hadn't really chatted about what we were doing next. And it was the adoption people got back in touch with us and said, we're ready to start your home study. Are you guys ready? And it suddenly brought it all back into question. Oh, what are we doing? And I remember thinking, right, okay, we really need to have this conversation. And Andrew was about to go on a trip to Burma. And just before he went, he was going with Aaron and Blue Train. They were going to be working in an orphanage and stuff. I remember thinking, right, we really need to chat about this. So we had a chat one night, and I said, Andrew, are we going to go for this adoption then? And he said, I don't think I want to. And I remember feeling really devastated at the time, thinking, how am I, you know, what's happening? We're not on the same page anymore. And Andrew's just like, you know what, Penny, I really want us to have our own kids. And it's not that I don't love other kiddies and want that to be part of our lives, but that's just not where I'm at the minute. And I remember this was the thing that made me just call everything into question again and think, well, God, you know, what am I going to do? This was my plan B. It doesn't seem to be working. And suddenly I had to understand that I had a deep-rooted issue in me, that even though I'd been confessing the word, I'd been doing all the things that I thought I should do, I realized that really at the heart of things, I was fearful. And that I had to surrender and let go of my plan B. And I had to really think, God, did you really say those things? Did you really say to me that you won't withhold any good thing? I remember meditating on the verse just in Psalm 84 where it says, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And I started to think, God, do I really, really, really believe that? Will I let go and totally trust you and put down every other plan and just believe in your goodness? And I had to just get honest with God and just say, God, I am frightened. I'm frightened to do that. I am really, really afraid inside. But I realized that for so long, I just held that in. And I think sometimes you can move from, you know, not believing in the goodness of God into like this faith mentality where you don't want to admit that you may be in fear, that you don't want to admit that you're struggling. But I think that's an even bigger area of bondage in your life, because it's that whole thing of don't let the enemy know your doubts. Don't let him think that you're in fear. But you know what? God is bigger than your fears and your doubts. Isn't that fantastic? And he can handle them. And he's a lot less worried about them than you are. And just that whole thing of bringing everything into the light and being totally honest with God. He can deal with that. He's bigger than all of that. And I thought about close relationships. And I thought, you know what? We just need to be honest. You know, if it was your son or daughter or mum or dad or husband or wife, wouldn't you want them to tell you what you really thought? You wouldn't want them to hold anything back. And I realized that that's God's heart for us. He doesn't want you to hold anything back from him. He just wants you to bring it into the light. Oh, it's my mum. They'll be wondering on the tape what that is, won't they? For the sake of the tape, that's my mum coming and giving me a big hug. Isn't that lovely? But isn't it fantastic that actually when you bring things into the light, that there's freedom? And I just remember this incredible sense of freedom coming into my life when I was able to say, Lord, I've been afraid, but I understand that you're my Heavenly Father, that you truly love me, and that there is no good thing that you're going to withhold from me. And all of a sudden, just that huge weight lifted from my shoulders. And I suddenly realized I've been going through life trying to get my faith up here all the time, trying to be on form, trying to, you know, just always believing all the time in the goodness of God. But I suddenly realized it's okay if my faith was like this and like this and like this and like this, because Jesus' faith is perfect. And I suddenly realized that it's his faith that works through me. It says in Galatians 2 that we have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives with me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And for me, that was fantastic because it totally released me. It was like, do you know what? It's you living in me, Jesus. That's what I trust in, not myself. It's you. And I suddenly realized that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. When it talks in Hebrews, it says, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Isn't that fantastic? He's the one who put the faith in us, and he is the one who completes it. So when we're all over the place, he's the one who starts it, and he's the one who finishes it. And those verses became so real to me, because suddenly it was no longer about what I had to do. It was suddenly about what he'd done. Jesus, his faith is perfect and it's complete. And suddenly my eyes were off myself, and I suddenly began to trust that my life's lived through the Holy Spirit. And when I trust him, I've got all the faith that I need. I want to just read this by Joseph Prince. He put it this way. When you ask yourself, do I have enough faith? You have already put a hindrance between you and Jesus' finished work. The more you focus on your faith, the more faith slips away. But if you focus on the finished work of Christ and see God's grace towards you, God sees that as faith. Without realizing it, faith is there in your heart to believe. Isn't that so exciting? So the end of the story was, Andrew keeps flashing his phone at me with however many minutes I've got left. I just slap him because he went over 7 minutes the other week. So the things you try and do in secret, bring it into the light. So, oh, it's being recorded too. There we go. So Andrew came back from Burma, and it was so funny because he said, you know what, I'm so sorry I talked about that stuff with adoption, because I've totally changed my mind and saw kids out there that are amazing and I totally think we should adopt. And I said, that is brilliant. But I know I'm going to be pregnant. And he was like, oh, really? And I said, no, I really, really do. And I just knew. And I think that's the incredible thing, that God will show you before. And an absence of fear will be there. And so he was like, oh, that's brilliant. And literally 3 weeks later, we found out that I was. So it already happened. So exciting. That's so exciting. Just trust and believe in the goodness of God. I just want to encourage you with a few final things. I think see if people are walking through a journey and they're struggling. You know, one of the hardest things is when people around you are silent. And I want to say thank you to some people here today who did encourage me, who kept speaking life and hope in throughout our journey of believing for kids. Jane's here this morning. I remember, one Mother's Day looking after her kids, and she brought me back flowers before we had bed and said, for the mum that you're going to be. And I know of other people who spoke into my life and just kept encouraging me that that was going to be me. And I just want to encourage you guys, speak and encourage people around you. Do you know what? Don't be afraid. There were too many people with us who were afraid of getting our hopes up and who never mentioned it and didn't talk about it because they were worried that we would be disappointed. But you know what? The biggest disappointment would be to never have had any children. And it's hard. It's hard to stand with people when they're going through hard times, and we don't always see the goodness at the end of it, but it's not because of God. But just be one of those people who dares to speak. And I want to, God sends people into your life to encourage you. And I started taking Ben to swimming lessons, and there was a lady there from a Free Presbyterian church. She started chatting to me when we got chatting. She was a Christian and whatever, and she started asking me about my family and do you have any more kids. And I said, oh no, not yet. And every week she started talking to me and saying, well, you know what? Romans 4:17, she said, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they do. And every week she started talking about Ben's little sister. Well, you know, has Ben got a little sister yet? And you're going to be getting a little sister. And she hardly knew me. And she wasn't from a background where I thought she would have said that, but she did. Isn't that fantastic? So guys, I want to encourage you, speak hope into people's lives. Stand with them in the hard times. I want this church to be a place where there's going to be lots of people coming up and saying their story. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Amen. Sorry for talking too long.